was out in my garden over the weekend and taking a look at some of the tomatoes, and I've got a variety called Mr. Stripey. It's a red and white striped one, and they're pretty good. They're an heirloom tomato, and I wondered, boy, you know, it'd be great to be able to preserve that through the year in one way or another. And I'm all ears today as we talk about doing just that, as we visit with a couple of people. Kiara Mulvey is the executive director of MaxAct, grows organic veggies at Blue Moon Community Farm in Stoughton, Wisconsin. Kiara, welcome.
Thanks, Larry. It's great to be here.
Yeah, great to have you with us. Deborah Shapiro, mild-mannered librarian by day, foodie and cook for hire the rest of the time. And after 15 years of cooking in all kinds of restaurants, Deb is now a librarian teaching at the University of Wisconsin. She loves to cook with fresh local seasonal vegetables. She also writes about food and cooking, so it's really great to have them both with us today. Do you prioritize buying local and seasonal produce? Why or why not? What about preserving your own food in one way or another? Sometimes we think about canning, but there are other ways to do it besides canning. What and how do you put up? And you have some favorite recipes. I'll tell you what, we got lots to talk about with them, and you can join in at 1-800-642-1234. Email us at talk@wpr.org, or go ahead and post on our Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show. Love to hear from you. And you know what? Let's start community-supported agriculture. I've talked about this number of times on the show, but I think it's always worth repeating to talk about what is community-supported agriculture. And maybe, Kiara, you could start with that.
Sure. Well, community-supported agriculture, excuse me, is a wonderful model for getting fresh food directly from your farmer. It's really popular here in southern Wisconsin. We have an amazing group of farmers here growing fresh food and delivering those boxes into the Madison community and wider community. Every week, once a week, you get the freshest food picked, you know, the day before or even that morning by your farmers and delivered to your neighbor's house or to another location in the community. And some people pick them up right at the farm. And it's just a really great means for getting a variety of seasonal produce. So sometimes you're surprised by the contents of your box and then some of your old favorites and really making a commitment to the farm and taking that partnership of food production to another level.
Yeah. And so the benefits to the farmer?
The benefits to the farmer are a couple-fold. One is really engaging directly with the eaters, the people that are consuming the food that they're spending their time and energy growing. And on the economic front, the farmers are really benefiting by the investment in the farm. So most members sign up early in the season. They're able to plan efficiently according to the number of members they have with the farm, and they get literally and figuratively some seed money to take them through the season.
Absolutely. And Deb, to you for a minute, what are the advantages for consumers, do you think? The primary ones.
Well, I get a CSA box myself. I get a CSA box from TP Produce. And TP, through MaxAct and REAP, has a benefit where you get a rebate from Physicians Plus.
Right.
Healthy choices, big rewards. So, and as Kiara said, you have to sign up. We sign up in January. And that we're investing in TP's coming season, giving them the money to plant the crops that we'll later eat. And after we've signed up and paid our dues to TP, you can submit a request to Physicians Plus and get a rebate back. And the idea is that you can use that money for it's a rebate. Physicians Plus pays the rebate because you as the consumer is investing in yourself, in your own health,
sure,
by buying healthy food.
Yeah, it's very popular, I understand, too. Funny that everybody doesn't do it.
It's true. Everybody could.
Oh, well, yeah, they could. Why not?
And that's sort of how I got hooked up into this, because MaxAct, I have taught two of a six-course series for MaxAct. MaxAct is teaching cooking classes in how to use all the contents of your CSA box, not necessarily preserving it for the winter, but just coming up with a couple weeks' meals with the contents of that box. And the classes are at... The Willie West Co-op Kitchen and the Orchard Ridge Church on, is it on Gilbert or is it on Flat? On the west side of mm-hmm. Madison. And there's another set coming up in September. They're going to be September 25th from 4 to 6 at Willie West and Thursday, September 29th at Orchard Ridge.
Okay. So, and you know, as my recollection is, too, that the farms themselves do a lot to help out with recipes and suggestions, because there are times when you say, I guess I've never used that vegetable before.
Right. It's true. And you know, demystifying the vegetables is part of the experience as well. You know, for the adventurous chef that's interested in trying new things, the farm will do weekly newsletters, which more and more are becoming either blogs or online newsletters, giving a couple of recipes, explaining the contents, and sometimes going as far as telling you some tips for storing or preserving the bounty if it is a particularly full week of cucumbers or Roma tomatoes, something like that.
Well, you can preserve cucumbers.
You can.
Wow.
Pickles. Pickles are preserved cucumbers.
Mm-hmm. I like to slice really thin with a vinegar. What are those? What's that called? God, I'm trying to remember. But I love cucumbers that way.
Me too.
A little onion and
a nice refrigerator pickle, a little garlic sliced thin. Just put them in there, ready to eat in a couple hours.
Well, how about preserving over that fall and that long cold winter?
Well, now is really the time, actually. Last night, I was up a little later than I expected to with 30 pounds of little sauce tomatoes, a delicious variety called San Marzano, primarily with a couple Martino's Roma, really nice, meaty, delicious saucing tomatoes. We didn't sell out at our market stand on Saturday, and I had a giant vat of them that I was taking to task last night. So I'm still not exactly sure what I'm going to do with them, but I've started down the road of coring them, taking out their seeds, doing a little peeling on them. And honestly, at my house, what I do most often is freeze things. I'll freeze whole tomatoes. I'll probably end up freezing this tomato sauce. I haven't made it into a full sauce. It's just tomato paste, which I find to be the most versatile. I can make it into a soup or a sauce later on in the winter. But I'll do a little bit of legwork at this point, you know, take off the stems and seeds and the skins, and then I have a food mill, which is a real rudimentary machine.
The old Foley food mill?
Yep, exactly. Just turn the crank and turn the crank and turn the crank for a little while, and then I have this beautiful tomato puree that I'll freeze in small quantities and pull it out through the winter.
Do you freeze whole tomatoes?
I don't. Friends of mine do. What I usually do with mine is my CSA TP will sell, if they have excess of the sauce tomatoes, the Romas, they'll sell 25-pound boxes of them. And what I usually do is you blanch them. You drop them in boiling water, count to 30 slowly, and then you can peel the skins off. You core them, peel the skin off, and then you can just kind of squeeze them and squeeze most of the seeds out. And then what I do is I pack them in Ziploc bags, in the Ziploc sandwich bags. Those are about a pint. It's about the same size as a 15-ounce can of diced tomatoes that you might buy in the supermarket. And I take those little sandwich bags and I put them inside of a bigger Ziploc bag. And I put it all in the freezer. And then all winter long, I can take out the equivalent of a 15-ounce can of tomatoes from my freezer.
Mm-hmm. That's great.
Mm-hmm. And I do sometimes actually do the whole tomatoes. I think the description that Deb gave and what I was doing last night is easier to work with in the winter when you're ready. But if you have a quantity that the fruit flies are starting to notice, this happens on my kitchen from time to time, I will take the time to put a little X mark on the blossom end of the fruit and to core the stem end out. But then I'll throw the whole thing right in the freezer. It makes it so you can pop it in the boiling water in its frozen state in January and still be able to skin it really quickly. So it takes a little bit more time in January, but it's a quick way to be able to process a whole bunch of tomatoes.
Before the fruit flies attack.
And actually, there was tomato preservation going on in my kitchen late last night, as well as Kira's kitchen. I had I had gone to the farmer's market late on Saturday because I was waiting for both the marathon, the mini marathon, and the rain to pass by this Saturday morning. And one of the generous farmers had given me three cartons, baskets of cherry tomatoes for the price of two. And Matt Smith from Blue Valley Gardens. And I ate as many of them as I could, and I still have a few left to eat. But I cut them in half and laid them on a cookie sheet and drizzled a little olive oil over and a little bit of, threw in a few cloves of whole garlic. And then I just roasted them in a 225 degree oven. And it's the equivalent of sun-dried tomatoes. And I can freeze those, or I can use them right away, but it's another way to preserve really good tomatoes. And you can do that with any size. You could do that with your stripy tomatoes, too.
And Matt Smith's a pretty good guy and a pretty good farmer, too.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Very good. He's got some organic turkeys.
Turkeys,
yes.
He does really well. We have we've been talking about tomatoes here, and we had an email from Justin. By the way, you can join in with a call at 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234. If you have a question, call us, or maybe you've got some suggestion or a tip to share, maybe a little about a recipe. Email us at talk@wpr.org or go to our Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show. Let's take this email from Justin in Port Washington. On Saturday, I made a canning recipe for spaghetti sauce. Had enough sauce for 9 quarts. But, of course, you can only fit 7 quarts in the hot water canner. So I have 2 jars of sauce that have not been boiled in the canner. Can I simply freeze those 2 jars, or should I consider using them right away?
Mm-hmm. Excellent question. 2 comments on that.
I assume they're in the refrigerator right now.
Right, right. I hope they're in the refrigerator. I have done freezing directly in jars before, but I have only had success with the wide mouth jars. So depending, the narrow mouth jars do tend to crack more easily. Yeah. And that has happened to me sometimes even with the wide mouth jars. So that's the caution of freezing them directly in the jars that they're in right now.
Can you put them in a bag?
You can, yeah. Certainly Deb's technique of the bag, or they also sell smaller square freezer plastic containers that also work well.
That's what I was going to say, is quart plastic containers. Yogurt buckets, leftover washed out yogurt buckets are great for freezing liquids in. Or they do sell white plastic quart, and you might want to transfer your sauce from the glass jar into something plastic to freeze it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, that makes good sense. We'll take some calls now, but just let me remind you, Kira Mulvey is the executive director of MaxAc. She grows organic veggies at Blue Moon Community Farm in Stoughton, Wisconsin. And Deborah Shapiro is a librarian by day, foodie and cook for hire, and the rest of the time she loves to cook with fresh local seasonal vegetables, and she also writes about food and cooking. I'm Larry Mueller. Judith Sears-Poisson, our producer on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Kara Mulvey and Deborah Shapiro, our guests today, as we talk with them about MaxAc, Madison Area Community Supported Agriculture Coalition, and of course we're visiting with them about food preservation. They have a new cookbook. We haven't even gotten into that yet. They're working on one, and you maybe can help out with that. Maybe you've got a great recipe. They'll tell us the particulars about the recipes and how you might try out for this contest at 1-800-642-1234. That's the number for you to call if you have a question or comment. Email at talk@wpr.org or go to our Facebook page. Post there at The Larry Mueller Show. John in Milwaukee has a question for you, so let's go there. Hi, John. Thank you for calling.
Hi. I just wanted to add to the freezing of whole tomatoes.
Yeah.
And especially since, tomatoes come in sometimes 1 or 2 at a time if you have a smaller garden. But I was just freezing them without coring them or peeling them. And the skin comes off super easy after you freeze them, even for just like an hour. So I wouldn't even bother coring or scoring them. You just keep throwing them in the freezer, same freezer bag, as you accumulate them. And they're just like having canned tomatoes when you're ready to thaw them.
Yeah. Sounds good to me. What do you think, Deborah?
Great tip. Yeah. I think the one thing you might want to be a little cautious about is if you throw a lovely sun-warm tomato in with your frozen ones, you're going to thaw them out just a little bit. So you might want to cool those new tomatoes before you add them to your bag of already frozen ones.
That's probably a good tip. Thanks, John.
Sure.
Appreciate it very much. Vicki in Amherst, on to you now. Hi, Vicki.
Hi. Thank you for taking this call. I have two questions. One, is taking the peel off of the tomato simply an aesthetic piece of the process? And secondly, if your guests could comment on the issue of having plastic contact with food when there's a temperature change involved.
Okay. Thank you very much for calling. Kara, we'll turn to you first here.
Sure. The skins, I'll address the first part of the question first. The skins, for me, is a textural issue. And so that would probably be to your personal taste. If you don't mind having skins in your sauce, then it won't really matter. I don't like the way that they kind of peel up and make little skin sections in my sauce. So I always do it. Yeah, they end up being like little sticks, exactly. So I always do, if I'm making a sauce, then I'll always take the skins off. If I'm doing something like a fresh salsa or a fresh sauce, I don't take that step. I'll just chop it right up and I'm going to eat it that day. But any kind of processing or freezing, I'll always take it off because I don't like the sticks.
Okay. And the other part of the question, do you guys have any information on that? Reaction?
I don't. I'm not aware of problems with temperature and plastic. The main problem with plastic I know of is the BPA.
Yeah.
Most of the food packaging that, I mean, I read the label. You know, if I'm using washed out yogurt buckets, I read the label when I'm purchasing the yogurt to make sure it's already in a no BPA container. I don't put blazing hot liquids into plastics.
Yeah.
That's I don't have a lot of the scientific information either. However, I definitely be sure to try to cool down anything before I put it into the freezer, just for the integrity of the container.
Mm-hmm. All right. Thank you very much for calling, Vicki. Appreciate your call. We had a Facebook comment here from Kate. I took MaxX water bath canning class yesterday. It was a lot of fun, very informative. Their cookbook is also a lifesaver for anyone new to CSA. I've given them as gifts to all my friends and family. Everybody loves them. I have a copy as well, from asparagus to zucchini. Got a lot of good recipes in there.
It's true. It does. Yes.
So that's cool. We got Doug here in Bloomer next. Hi, Doug. Thank you for calling.
Good morning to you and your guest, Larry. It's been a while.
Well, glad to have you back.
I have two recipes for you. One is for kosher dill pickles that have jalapeno pepper in them. And basically you take salt and put 2 tablespoons of salt in each quart jar, sprigadill, about 3 cloves of garlic, and of course you core and take the seeds out of a jalapeno pepper, and maybe at the most, depending upon taste, I only put like a quarter of the pepper in. And then the second recipe I have for you is you take some potatoes, peel them, garlic powder, and maybe some salt, boil them, and then take some steak or hamburger, and you brown it, and the steak has got to be sliced thin. And then you take and throw in a little bit of black pepper and a can of mushroom soup, stir it up until it's all smooth, and then you have a veggie on your side, and there you go.
All right, there you go.
Dinner. All right.
Yeah. we've got dinner there. Well, the fact that Doug brought up the recipes, I think, should lead us to the recipe contest and the new recipe book. Carrie, you want to tell us about it?
I sure do. Yeah. Well, thanks, Kate, for writing in there and bringing up our old book. We've published a cookbook from asparagus to zucchini here for several years now. It's really a go-to book for people that are farmers market or CSA customers looking for a little inspiration on easy recipes for coping with sometimes new vegetables or doing new things with old vegetables. I always find that this existing book I go to when I'm just so tired of making the same kale dish every mm-hmm. week. And so I need some inspiration, some ideas. So we really think of that cookbook as a resource. And it has been around for a long time. We get a lot of requests. When are you going to put out a new cookbook? And we're ready now. So we're just starting the process, and we've opened it up with a recipe contest that's been going on now. Over 50 people have already submitted their home recipes. This new book will not be a new edition of From Asparagus to Zucchini. It will be a whole new book with a little different organization, but the same idea is making the most of your garden, farm, farmer's market produce with an added twist of trying to do it quickly. So we're going to be including some tips on how to make the most of your Sunday afternoons and preparing some of the quantities to make them quickly over the course of the week. And we're soliciting recipes that are farm fresh and fast, looking for ways to be able to turn your CSA box into a week or a night's worth of delicious meals without having to spend a lot of time trying to figure out new ingredients, you know, trying to make it simple and trying to make it a way that we can all use fresh food every day, that it's not a special mm-hmm. occasion. It's, you know, how we can get fresh food into our lives on a daily basis.
So Doug, his first recipe there with adding peppers, at mm-hmm. least to the pickle, that's a little different twist.
Yeah, I like that a lot. And I like how Doug brought up, you know, seeding the jalapeno there. And that's a really good thing to keep in mind, that everybody has different tastes. And so it's nice to be able to, when you're putting a recipe book together or when you're just talking with your friends about your recipes, to offer some variation there. And, you know, how many seeds do you leave in? What percentage of the pepper are you going to use? That's really going to be up to how hot you like your
sure.
pickles to be. And so it's nice to be able to leave those variations in and make the meal delicious for everyone.
And how do we send in a recipe or apply for this contest?
Sure. On our website, which is www.macsac.org. You can go right to that website and you'll be able to find our recipe contest on the top scroll bar. Or you can also just Google us and find our website mm-hmm. or here on your Facebook page. There's a link directly to it. And there's a submission form to be able to submit your recipe right there on the website. Really easy.
Yeah. And if you're on my Facebook page already, just scroll down not very far and you're going to find the MacSac link and just go there and...
Recipe contest is in the news bar on the scroll feed on the top. So,
they can just email those recipes in?
They can. There's an online submission form which goes into a spreadsheet, or if it's easier to just send us your document, that works too.
Yeah, there we go. Well, we've got Dan in Wausau next with a question or comment. Hi, Dan.
Hi. Thanks for having your guests on. It's pretty entertaining. Just a couple quick questions. I'll take the answers off the air, please. One, if they could repeat their website address, that would be great. Number two, I'm looking for some information on drying Roma tomatoes and possibly without a dehydrator, if they have any ideas on how to do that.
Okay. Just go to my Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show, and you can get the link to the MacSac, so that's pretty easy. But what is it again?
It's macsac.org.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, thank you very much. And, yeah, if you have any ideas on how to dry tomatoes.
Yeah, I'm drying tomatoes.
Thanks, Dan.
Mm-hmm. Well, a little earlier in the show, I was talking about slow roasting cherry tomatoes, and you could do the same thing with Romas. I have done the same thing with Romas. It doesn't. You would quarter them or cut them in half and lay them on a cookie sheet and put them in a 225 degree oven for a couple hours or overnight. It doesn't dry them out enough to be stored, you know, at room temperature in a bag, but it dries them out enough to really concentrate their flavors, and you can freeze them.
So throw them in the freezer after you're...
Yeah. Although you know, what I've always read is the way it's really done in Italy is they're spread on big sheets out in the pasture and just let the sun dry them. And I think you could probably do that as well if you have a way to spread out the tomatoes outdoors in a place where the bugs aren't going to get them and just let the sun dry them out.
And they there's also plans available. I don't have them on the tip of my tongue, but for a solar dehydrator. So you can actually craft a solar dehydrator, which does the same thing using the sun's energy, but it does involve an enclosed or screened-in structure to try to keep those flies off of your tomatoes.
Yeah. Mary Bell has been a guest on my show many times, and she's, of course, a food-drying queen.
It's true, the queen. Exactly.
she can dry food. And she... She's, I think, even did some work in Nicaragua and came up with some really cheap food dryers that could be used in Nicaragua, and I guess they're used all over the place there now. So
that's great.
We can use them right here.
And she has wonderful recipes in her cookbook. A lot of them using dehydrators, but really creative ways to preserve food through drying.
Absolutely, Don in Warren, Illinois. We turn to you next. Hi, Don.
Hi, I would highly recommend that you get the Blahl Blue Book. I have the 31st edition. It might be quite old. But for the sake of food safety, you need to introduce yourself to the mechanism and the safety and what you're getting and how you're going to get there without some dead ends. And worse yet, I remember there was an older couple, it's been many years ago, they found them both dead, and they had open canned green beans, and it got both of them.
Yeah, botulism.
Yeah.
And frankly, Don, if you've got an old Blahl canning book, I highly recommend you get the new Blahl book because, Kara, things have changed.
They certainly have, and, you know, it's really important with doing any kind of canning, particularly if you're doing any kind of low-acid foods. Green beans would fit into that category, that you follow the directions to a T. And the Blue Book does continue to put out new editions, and a lot of that information is available on their website, the Blahl Blue Book website. And there also are really great classes available here in the Madison area and other places. I have a list of a couple that are coming up. We are doing a pressure canning class on August 28th from 4 to 8 p.m. And so pressure canning is one of the strategies for dealing with a lower acid foods. It requires a little bit more equipment, but it's important to get all the safety right if you're going to be doing any preservation that doesn't involve the freezer or dehydrator. So it's important that you follow the rules on that. Fitchburg Fields is also offering a canning and pickling and salsa class on August 23rd, which is coming right up. And that is at Christ Memorial Church in Fitchburg. And the co-op here in town is offering small batch preservation class on September 11th. That's at Willie Street Co-op West. And a vegetable fermentation class also at Willie Street Co-op West, and that's on October 23rd, so a few courses.
And you can always check in with UW Extension in your county around the state. They know those classes that are coming up in every single county. They keep track of it, so you can put in a phone call or go online if you have a computer. Just go online to the UW Extension. You'll find that information out. And speaking of phone numbers, we did have a person call in who is not online and wondered about a phone number for you folks.
Sure. I'll give our phone number, certainly, and then a little bit more information about UW Extension. But to reach us at the MACSAC office, our phone number is 608-226-0300. So that's to reach us at the CSA Coalition. And
was it again? 608-226-0300.
That's right. And Larry mentioned the UW Extension. They also do an incredible 3-day Master Food Preserver course. So to actually be certified as a Master Food Preserver, talk about freezing, canning, dehydrating, all sorts of strategies. They're at the top of the safety for sure. It is unfortunately closed for this year, but a good thing to keep an eye on. And through that, they also have... They'll are available. Their food preservers are available to answer questions over the phone or via email. So if you're in it up to the elbows in your pickles and you want to just make sure you have the right processing time, you can give them a call, and their phone number is 608 263 7383. And then they also have an email address, which we can provide or put on the Facebook page to shoot them a question or a note, which is bhingham, H-I-N-G-H-A-M, at wisc.edu. So that's a fantastic resource.
Yeah. Yep. She's very good. And we can post those. I think Judith, as usual, her usual efficient self, is noting all that, and it'll be up on our Facebook page very, very shortly. We have an, by the way, you can join in with a question or comment at 1-800-642-1234. We had an email from Doug in Amory who says, I'm looking at a pile of horseradish roots while I'm listening to the show. Any suggestions?
Be prepared to cry.
Yeah, that's for sure.
I have not worked with horseradish other than creating my Passover Seder plate. And I've read some recipes, but I would recommend contacting Extension, doing some searches, how to process horseradish.
Yeah, I actually, UW Extension, I know has something on it. But if you got a pile now, you'll probably have an even bigger pile next year, Doug, because it really grows.
Yeah, I've done a refrigerator style horseradish solution, which isn't going to keep it for a long time, but is a great way to store it. And just a vinegar, salt, grated horseradish. So you have to clean it up real good because the horseradish is long and skinny and has a lot of places for the dirt to ride in the crevices there. But once you scrub it and then peel it back, and you can mince it up and add it with a little white vinegar, apple cider vinegar, and salt, and that'll keep for a little while for you in the fridge.
You could freeze it.
You probably could.
I haven't tried it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why you couldn't.
Yeah.
I have an email from Cindy in New Berlin who says, I have a bounty of the variety of cucumber called Straight 8. Did we talk about this yet? No, I don't think so. The seed packet identifies these as slicing cucumbers. Can they also be used to make pickles as well? I usually make a recipe for pickles that not canned, but ferments in the refrigerator. Wondering, Deborah, are you...
I've made refrigerator pickles out of lots of different kinds of cucumbers. The biggest difference between real pickle variety of cucumbers and slicing cucumbers is the slicing kind are seedier and moister. It's possible that if you... you might want to take a look at your straight eight cucumbers and see how seedy they are. Maybe you could remove some of the seeds, quarter them, and scrape the seeds out. You might want to salt them and remove a little bit of the moisture and then put them into a quick brine of vinegar, sugar, salt, whatever seasonings you want, and make them into a refrigerator pickle.
Mm-hmm. Yep, another good idea. Kate in Pewaukee, on to you now. Hi, Kate.
Yes, hi. I have a recipe for a sweet zucchini relish that I have made for a number of years, and I have a friend who would like me to make it with sugar substitute with Splenda because she's diabetic. And
do you heat it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it's you cook the ground up stuff. And then put it in jars, and my recipe does not call for it to be processed, but I always water bath can it just to be sure. But I called the Splenda people, and I was not real sure what they told me as far as whether I could use that. They seemed to think it was okay. The University of Georgia, which was where I was referred by the local extension office, pretty much says, no, don't do it.
Hmm. Yeah. Well, I'm wondering if how heat affects Splenda.
No, it's supposed to be okay, is what, that's at least what the Splenda people say.
Yeah, well.
Yeah, I don't know about that one, Kate. I haven't tried it myself. It sounds like you've been barking up the right trees in terms of doing your homework, so I'm not really sure.
You might run it by UW Extension, your county extension office.
I did, and they no longer have someone.
Oh, they don't? I'm sorry.
No, so they no longer have a canning person. That's, part of the budget stuff.
Yeah, part of the budget stuff. I don't know what to tell you.
I think you've stumped our experts, assembled experts, and I think Extension, either maybe you can call the Dane County office or Madison rather if there's no one left in your county. We all know that both the sugar and the salt in a particular recipe for preserves or pickles have some of the preserving properties. And
yes.
So to leave out sugar seems like it could be problematic.
Yeah, that's a very good point. Very good point. Wish we had more information. Maybe somebody else will help us out. We'll wait and see. Somebody else might call in and help us. So stay listening. And Jeannie in Lake Mills, on to you. Hi.
Hi. I was wondering how long you can keep your preserved goods for. I have some green beans I did in 2008, and I'm starting to get nervous if they're still good to eat or not.
Well,
it is certainly good for you to be nervous about that. And you know, like I said earlier, they do continue to update the recommendations on that. So I wouldn't want to give you an exact answer and not be telling the most up-to-date information. So I would recommend that you check either with the Ball's Blue Book recommendations, and you can probably find those recommendations online. You probably don't need to purchase the book to be able to find the shelf life recommendations, or again to check with the Extension. Certainly with your canned goods, they're going to be stored on the shelf, and particularly with the low acid foods, you're going to want to be extra
especially
careful,
beans.
Especially beans.
One
yeah.
little story I will tell is the person who wondered about her canned beans and stuck a toothpick in the jar and put it on her tongue, and was on a ventilator for a long, long time, and over a year to recover. So it's nothing to fool with.
Nothing. Certainly not. And green beans freeze wonderfully. So
yeah. I hate to end on this negative note, because there are so many good, I mean, if you can it properly.
That's true.
And then and then pay attention to using it in an appropriate length of time. It should be fine. And if you freeze, and there are all these other things we've been talking about, there are a lot of ways to extend those vegetables right through the winter.
And there's a lot of great winter vegetables that you can continue to buy straight through with some nice storage crops.
Mm-hmm. What would those be?
Oh, carrots, potatoes, winter squash, rutabaga, turnips.
Parsnips.
Oh, I love parsnips. And you know, there's a carrot recipe in asparagus to zucchini that involves honey glazed carrots with mint.
Ooh.
Oh, that's a good one.
You can make even little mint cubes for your freezer.
That's a good recipe. Well, hey, and so the contest, just
yes.
to end here, the contest, we need to... You
yes.
need to go online.
Come to our website. On the top news bar, you'll scroll to the third button, which is a beautiful picture of a carrot confetti salad. And there's all the information and details of the contest there, the timeline. And we're looking for your stories and your recipes to publish in the next great cookbook on fresh food.
And otherwise, you want to call?
You can always give us a call, 608-226-0300.
Hey, it was fun.
Thanks a lot.
Thank you, Kiara. Thank you, Deb.
Hungry.
Yeah, well, you're getting me. Yeah, see, I'm going to be on for a little bit. You can leave now and go and eat.
We will.
Thanks again.
Thank you.
Kiara Mulvey is the executive director of MaxSAC, growing organic vegetables at Blue Mound Community Farm in Stoughton, Wisconsin. Deb Shapiro, librarian by day, foodie, and cook for hire the rest of the time. She loves to cook with those fresh, local, seasonal vegetables that she gets from MaxSAC, and maybe you get from your CSA. Hopefully you do. Well, I tell you what, we're going to switch gears a little bit with you now and turn our attention to the Elroy Sparta Trail. There's a new book out. It's called Indomitable Pluck. One railroad, three tunnels, and America's first rails-to-trails bike path. It's an interesting story, and we'll hear about it next on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.